The scripture reading today is going to be James 5, 7, and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
Today we hear a constant barrage of evils that are committed in the world. The politics of the day, pro-choice advocates, the homosexual agenda, the agenda of so many, the decline of the godly home, are all reminders that for us, this world is not our home. And now here we are in the middle of this pandemic with the coronavirus, and yet here we are, and we have to live, we have to function, whether socially distant or not. We have to keep and maintain our faithfulness in serving God. We have to continue to rear our children. We have to worry about the things that are going on around us, maybe with our jobs, as well as our family's safety and so forth. Where does that leave the Christian in the middle of all that's going on around us? What are we supposed to do? While evil is in our midst, does this really change the action and the purpose of the church? I would say absolutely not. In fact, James reminds us to be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And then he says, be patient, establish your hearts. James 5, verses 7 and 8. We are reminded by Paul the purpose of the church, the intent of the church. He says that so through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, that was according to the eternal purpose which he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Our purpose is also set by our Lord's desire to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19 and verse 10. And so with those thoughts in mind, I want us to think about three things this morning. First, endurance. And then number two, establish your hearts. And number three, to be evangelistic. Let's think about number one then, to endure. A man by the name of Orson F. Whitney wrote this, "No pain that we suffer, no trial that we experience is wasted. It ministers or it serves to our education, to the development of such qualities as patience, faith, fortitude, and even humility. All that we suffer and all that we endure, especially when we endure it patiently, builds up our characters, purifies our hearts, expands our souls, makes us more tender and charitable, and more worthy to be called the children of God." I think Mr. Whitney was certainly onto something here, because through our trials and through our things that we have to go through in this life, through all those things that surround us, we, as we endure, we are growing. It does educate us. It does help to build our faith in God. It does help to build our character, and certainly has opportunity to cause us to be humbled in many ways. And I think that's important, because you remember that even the wise man Solomon understood and learned the hard lesson of humility as well, that we must humble ourselves. And even James, the inspired writer, taught us as well that we must humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. It's through our trials and through our tribulations that give over to the opportunity for growth in our lives, to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. "My brethren, count it all joy," James says, "when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, entire, and lacking or wanting nothing." James 1, verses 1 and 2. And so, we, through these trials, we learn, number one, to endure. Number two, as James also pointed out to us, James 5, verse 7 and 8, that we should establish our hearts. You know, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica, and he says to establish you to comfort you concerning your faith. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. They had been warned and they had been tempted. Paul was worried for them, and he sent Timothy then to help teach them, to help encourage them, to help strengthen them, to help them to be established and assured in their faith, to give them comfort. In fact, in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 3, it says, to the end, or to the purpose, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God and the Father, and at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. To the church at Rome, Paul would write, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all the nations for the obedience of faith to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. So Paul also, as well as James, was encouraging those brethren to be established, for them to be assured and rooted and grounded in the faith, as Paul would also write to the church at Colossae. That idea to be established, we need to be thinking about that, because this time especially is an opportunity for us to be growing in our faith. We've already made the point about our enduring through these things, that certainly that lends itself to be stronger. It educates us, but we're educated through the Word of God. And so we should have this opportunity especially to take time to educate ourselves, to establish our faith, to spend time in the Word of God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. And so this is that opportunity for us to be growing in our faith and establishing and rooting ourselves deep in the New Testament and that system of faith whereby we can be saved and whereby we can continue to grow and continue to teach others. And so that leads us then to the last thought of to be evangelistic, to evangelize. And even during this time, you know, it's through patience and through that endurance and through our establishing of our hearts toward God and His Word, it's then that it would be logical that we would want to tell others. It would be logical that we would want to evangelize others and teach during this time as well. And we'll take every opportunity and we'll use every evangelistic tool that we have and all the technology that's available to us, especially during this time, to be able to be evangelistic. But I think about even to our own families. We begin there. And then, as we have opportunity to be able to reach out by this means and others, to be able to teach others the gospel of Jesus Christ. I come across a parable in Luke chapter 19, and particularly verses 11 through 27. And it reads this way. It's the parable of the pounds or the parable of the minas. It says, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas each and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came to him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? He said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Again, Luke 19:11-27. This great parable reminds us of the necessity to diligently use both the opportunities as well as the abilities that God has given to each of us. We must establish our hearts, being committed to the Lord, enough to be able to teach His Word to those around us, to the lost. Again, Luke 19:10. We're also reminded that there is a judgment to come. The parable reminds us of that as well. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account thereof the things that we've done in the body, whether good or bad. With so much going on around us in the world, it's easy to stay focused and maybe even lose our focus on Christ. But we have to remember to stay focused, to never lose sight of that goal of heaven, Philippians 3:14. To never give up, as we've talked about in the past, to be faithful unto the end, to endure, to establish our hearts, and even to evangelize the lost. You see, even during these difficult times, it affords us opportunity to do those things, to look within, introspection, and to see where we are, to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. And during these times, it reminds us also that we must be strong, enduring unto the end, Matthew 10:22. But in enduring, we must have established our hearts in the faith. We need to study our Bibles. We need to study the Word of God. We need to be growing in it. We need to be teaching our young people. We need to be teaching our families. We need to be teaching our neighbors. We need to be teaching all those throughout the world. One of the things that we're also reminded of during this time, and this crisis, that life is so very precious and it can be gone in just an instant. And therefore, we need to be ready. We need to make sure that we ourselves are established in the faith. As well, that should also show us the urgency to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Again, if there is a way that the Eastside Church of Christ might be able to help you, to both our members and our families and our friends who are out there, we want to send a message to you as well. We are here to help and to encourage every way that we possibly can. You can let us know how by contacting us through our office, the numbers that are listed in the next slide following, as well as through our website and email. You can count on us to be able to encourage you and to help you every way that we possibly can. Thank you.